everybody. This is going to be, I'm so glad you joined us. I should write down what I'm going to say because I always get really flustered, but this is going to be such a great show today. We have friends that are coming back that the third time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are so much fun. I'll let Rochelle introduce them in just a second. But Rochelle, how are you doing? I can't believe that we're going to get to see each other in person very soon.
I know. I was thinking right before we went live, like we should take this show on the road, but next week we'll actually be on the EdTech Roadshow. Well,
you
longer than I, because you'll just be seeing me in Pittsburgh, but I'm excited to see you. You're coming actually to Pennsylvania. So that's awesome. I don't actually have to go to Alaska. So you can.
Yeah, I wish people could. So I had no idea how close Columbus was to Pittsburgh. That's so crazy. In my mind, I never think Ohio and Pennsylvania. Maybe it's because I'm terrible at geography. But yes, it's going to be. And I actually dropped the link and in one of the comments or whatever. So if you want to meet us out there, Rochelle's going to be in Pittsburgh, and that is on Wednesday of next week. But I did drop this in the comment. Oh, no. That's the wrong
spoiler.
Link.
Spoiler.
Wrong link. But you can sign up. It is free, and you will see Michelle. Or Michelle. I called you Michelle because that's what we're going to be called for now on. We're Michelle now. Melshell. We're Melshell now.
Melshell.
And you will see us on the road on Wednesday. You can attend for free. So I wanted to drop that out. But anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
What else is up with you? How are you doing?
All I know is just from that, I do like the Michelle thing. Because that might get me
Melshell
away from being called Renee. And it'll just be like a refresher. Rochelle and Mel just blend it together. But if people are interested in seeing what we're like in real life, this is pretty much it. So I just would like to see you in person. But no, everything is good. I'm excited to be here. Oh, yay. My students joined in. Shout out to Mamacita Callie who joined
in. Nice.
That's awesome. I know. So I'm thrilled to have our guests today. There it is. And to talk with, you know, you already show kind of who we were having, but it is the third time. And hopefully the sun won't be too bright in on one of our guests. And hopefully there won't be two of me unless I can send one out to clean the house. But I don't think that'll happen. So
these are of course, inside jokes that you're talking about.
Oh, well, yeah, because
previous episodes. Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. And Frank. Hey, Frank. So glad that you are joining in. Now, Frank, stay with us. And Callie, stay with us because we're going to have a fun game closer to the end. So please, and we're so glad you're here. We definitely want people weighing in. All right. Do we want to do shout outs or do we want to bring our guests up?
We
want to
bring
our together?
Yes. I think we should bring them on up.
All right.
Come
you get
on
to introduce
down.
Them. All right. I'm pulling them up. Here we go, guys. Woo!
Hey,
welcome. Yay.
Hooray!
Happy Friday, ladies.
Happy Friday.
Okay, so it is your third time, and it's funny because on your last podcast, you talked about SNL, and I always think whenever we have guests that have appeared multiple times, like we're breaking records like SNL,
yes.
But I'm just curious.
We're not five-timers yet, but we're three-timers.
Right. Yeah. Right.
There's plenty of time to get you back there.
I love it, you guys.
So Wes and Molly, I want to ask you really quick, because this is what I was thinking when I was listening to your last podcast. Who are your favorite SNL actors or characters?
Oh, yes. I love games like this. Yes. You better play.
I'm already playing.
You want me to go top three first?
I thought she said, did you say one?
You can pick as many as you want. I'm just curious. Oh, it made me wonder.
Let's play a quick top three round robin, all four of us.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
No, Melody's start.
Okay, I can do it. I'll do mine first. It's a tie. It's like Will Ferrell, Molly Shannon, and Adam Sandler are my top three. Chris Rock. I'm sorry, four. Chris Rock, all four.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I got it. So here's the thing. You got two of my three. So Molly Shannon, Will Ferrell. My third's a Chris Farley, but he's actually my number one.
Yeah.
Okay. I love Eddie Murphy.
Oh,
like
geez.
Throwback. It's funny when he went on. I mean, it was crazy. And then Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry.
Yes.
Yeah, Sherry O'Terry. Yeah.
Hilarious. I don't know what happened to her. Like,
she was awesome.
I love Molly Shannon too. Also, name, like, we share a great first name, but I just like Sherry O'Terry for me. She's just out there.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right.
Well, at least I got to like gather some ideas from all of you, because I don't know the last time I actually watched SNL, and the first reference I even thought about it again was when I was listening to your podcast and you guys were talking about it. But I would say definitely like Matt Foley, you know, inspirational speaker. It was funny. Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon, of course.
Pretty cool, Frank.
Yeah.
And then I think about, I just blanked out on the one. Oh, daily affirmations. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough.
Yes.
That was good. That was Al Franken. That was Al Franken.
That was Al Franken. Yeah. Yeah. That was some really funny stuff.
Tina Fey either, who's like Weston's secret.
Oh, God. Yes.
He loves Tina Fey. Love Tina Fey.
Tina Fey. Yeah.
And Always Good or Great. I don't know if you guys watch. There's only murders in the building, but she's on. She was like in the whole last season. She's amazing. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
She's Norm,
also Norm MacDonald, honorable mention, best weekend update.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah. For sure. Hands down. And then of course. Yeah, and who's the guy?
Two
that
wild
has
and crazy
toe?
Guys. Remember that one?
Who's the one?
You know,
that was like Steve Martin.
I gotta say, I
forget.
My husband is 13 years older than me, so our SNL experiences are vastly different, like generationally different. Yes. And he thinks Belushi is wonderful. He thinks that, like, all of those guys, I don't get it. I do not get their silliness. It doesn't, I just don't. And he thinks that Will Ferrell is lame. So we are just like, we don't mesh. Yes.
Okay. It's okay. You're still married.
Does
he
not, I'm going to ask a really important question right now. Does he not like Elf?
Oh.
He doesn't like Elf. He thinks, and I got the greatest when we were dating. Will Ferrell's greatest DVD set had just come out, and I like bought it and I forced him to watch it all. And because we were dating, he did, but he will not do it again.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
Look at that.
It's crazy, right?
Frank's coming up with all of the amazement. Yeah, Jane Hearn, she's
Frank's
great.
Crushing it.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, yeah. And Frank is actually now is in Pittsburgh. And the funny thing is, you know, I've seen Frank at different conferences, like in Texas, and you know, you see somebody at the store or something, or for your conference, and you're like, is this the person I know? Like, there's no way they're here because they're a whole way across the country or whatever. So I never go into the grocery store. And like 2 weeks ago, I went in really quickly and I'm like, that looks like Frank. And I thought, there's no way it's Frank, right? So I sent him a message. He's like, yeah, that's really nice, shiny. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you are living like 15 minutes from me. So he'll actually be at the tech show next week.
Oh, but fine.
But I'm digressing back to Saturday Night Live right now. The other one that I couldn't think of, but Molly Shannon, when she did like
Superstoriology.
Mary Catherine Gallagher.
Yes. Yeah.
But also the Joyologist. Do you guys remember the Joyologist?
No.
I could do that, and I did. Okay. Anyway, we're so glad to have you guys back, Wes and Molly. It's been a little bit though. It's probably been at least a year. Catch us up on what your life is. What's going on with you? And then we'll move on. We're going to talk about your awesome podcast.
Yeah. You want to start?
You can start. It's great. I feel like we both have a lot going on. That's really just what we have. We have a lot going on all the time.
Yeah, it's
a lot of minutiae just constantly happening around our life.
So podcast is still going strong, which is great. So Teaching Keating is out almost every week.
Every
week as we can get it. New book, The Educator's Atlas, came out this year, which is super exciting. I'm just on the road doing my thing, doing what I do. Our kids are just crazy. Our kids are at this wonderful age right now. They're 11 and 13. And both of them just sort of like in the last couple of years, like it's become really obvious, have like found their thing. And so like, it's one of those parent moments where it's like when your kids find their thing and they find their groups and they find their people, like it just makes you really happy. And Melody was so
I'm sorry.
I could see her. I was like, did I kick her out?
No.
Did I kick her out?
I had a moment. I'm sorry. I had
her eyes were sweating.
Yeah,
it's totally.
But it's just it's nice. Like your kids find their thing, and you're just it makes me really happy.
And it's been transitional. That's I hate that word because I don't know. It feels like a teaching catchphrase. But like a lot of it, like when your kids, it's weird when they don't have their thing and find their group. So like the last couple years have been that of like, maybe it's gymnastics, maybe it's this, you know, baseball team, maybe it's, you know, and just kind of like not shopping, because that's not what it is, but just trying to help them, support them in finding their people in their groove. Right. Which is such a weird thing. I don't know. As a teacher, you get it and you understand. Yeah. And once your children are like, this feels weird. So like trying to support that without driving it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it does.
Here has been us not driving them, finding it on their own, but in a great, organic, authentic way. And now I actually am physically driving them everywhere else.
Right. Yeah,
but soon enough, before you know it, they're going to be driving themselves in places. And it's going to be, I know. Not crazy. Speeding up the time, okay. Though.
I saw a teacher friend of mine, because I volunteer at the school. And she was, because I'm currently not in the classroom, but I'm in the classroom all the time. And I was asking, I said, how is your daughter driving? Because her oldest, and she had both my kids. And she said, I feel like I'm just racing to keep up. And I said, that's what I feel like I'm doing too. I'm running alongside my children as they like race ahead of me. And I'm just doing this all the time.
Yeah.
So that really great physical running to keep up all the time. That's what we're doing. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's the ultimate, gals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But loving it. Loving every second.
Yeah,
sorry, Mel. No, and I'm sorry because I interrupt you, but my oldest kids are 11 and 14, and middle school is so hard, but I don't think we ever talk about, like, it's hard, it's awkward, it's the worst thing for kids, I think. I hated it, honestly.
I hated it.
But it's
it.
Also hard for parents, like middle school parents. I sent these items to school yesterday because they're doing this fundraiser, and we're the parents, and the teacher, like one of the teachers that got it said, like, oh, well, obviously Maddie's mom has never been camping, and Maddie wasn't in the room, but her one of her classmates told her this, and I freaking cried yesterday. Aww. I was embarrassed that I embarrassed my daughter, but it's so hard. Like, and no, you know, the teacher was being human. I don't hate her or anything. I mean, no. I kind of hate her a little bit. I hate her a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's human. We all do stupid stuff. Yes. Yeah.
Because we embarrass our kids. We are in a multiple carpool, and I literally feel like my son just like shrinks in the back when I just like speak out loud in the morning to his buddies, like, hey, what was your Easter? And he was just like, why are you even talking, mom? Like, this is a weird time in life where
you're
constantly embarrassed. They're embarrassed of you. You're embarrassed and you don't know why, because you don't know what you're doing that's embarrassing, but it's embarrassing to everyone. It just,
you're breathing.
It's like constant shame and humiliation for no reason. I don't know what's happening. I've already been there. I made it through middle school, right? Like, right. I have a college degree. Why am I engaging this again? And yet, here it is. It's a weird time. To your point, Mel, like, it's like, why am I feeling insecure about this? Mm-hmm. You're walking through all the camping stuff.
Yeah.
Take that, lady. You know, it's weird.
It's weirdly wonderful. Oh. Yeah. It's really, yeah. It's,
I hate camping.
Yes, I do too. We have baggage around it.
Because we went camping. That was our vacation.
Yeah.
So, and now like all my kids want to do is like, let's go camping. And I was like, let's never go camping.
You know what, Weston, though, like I'd have to say that I've seen your family pictures, the places you go. I would choose camping. No, I'm kidding. I absolutely hate camping.
And Molly,
camping means like in a cabin that is like a hotel that's furnished, that is normal and whatever. Awesome. Where I have cell service. Awesome. But I went camping once and it wasn't even in a tent and it was not fun. Maybe as a kid.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
I went camping in the summer in Iowa. And if you love humidity and mosquitoes and wasps, you will love camping in the summer in Iowa.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so that's what we did. It was just, it was what we could afford at the time. And beyond that, we didn't do a whole lot. And so now it's like, let's go camping. And I'm like, I don't want to do that at all.
I actually love camping. Camping in Colorado is really fun. I grew up, I did it. It was fun. Like, we could play. We were outdoor. Like, we went with like a group of kids and like, we were so wild and feral. We like painted our faces and played capture the flag at night, which you think would be like really dangerous, but they were like, no, go ahead. 12 children in the woods with flashlights by yourselves for hours on end. But it was really joyful. As a parent, it feels like camping's a punishment for me. Cause
were
like
you with the youth group when you did all that?
It was a good question. I did go with my youth group, but I also did it. Like, we just like had family friends that we all went to school together that were like the same age. And one of them had five kids and three of them were like, just like feral sons. And they like came up with all sorts of fun games. And camping is what they did, you know, like their dad rode motorcycles. They just like got to do what they wanted, but they were really fun and like kind of wild. And we just followed them wherever. It was like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Little Lord of the Flies-ish now. It was the 80s, you know, like.
They didn't, right.
They're
fine.
That's what I was thinking in my head. Nobody cared in the 80s. We did whatever we wanted.
Guys.
And we're all still here. It's miraculous, guys. Right? Like, we made it to adulthood. We're functioning adults.
As our kids like to remind us, that was back in the 1900s.
In the 1900s.
I say that so often, and I don't know. I think it's funny every single time I say it, just like, oh, the last century, the 1900s, and it does seem so like long ago. I mean, time passes. And going back, just one thing before I forget, you're talking about like that middle school age, you know, the school I teach in, I have grades 7 through 12, and I teach, you know, I know some of the seventh graders, but I teach eighth graders. And if they take the STEAM course, they have me in eighth. And if they take Spanish, they could have me potentially like 5 years, yay or nay. I don't know, however they feel about it. But on from my perspective, you know, I see all those like awkward, I don't know, transitions was, you know, the word too. Like, but it's so awesome to see them as they grow each year. And now some of the seniors, you know, they're coming up and like there were challenges as a teacher, you know, personalities and all those changes. But it's just like, it's so much fun to see them as they grow. I mean, from the perspective of me being the teacher. And, you know, I love what I do. Like every day, I mean, my one class, At one class, it's a little bit challenging sometimes, and we joke about it. But the other day, I said to them, I go, I think this is like the best class this entire year. Like, it was just fun. We were reading, and they were just doing voices and stuff. And then some of the students that were joining in my Spanish 3 class, like the one, yeah. So that's why whenever we do shout outs, and I always say my students, like, these are the ones, and they're joining in. So, but
it's such a cool time, yeah. Like that, like 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Because like you're really starting to get a glimpse mm-hmm. of who they're going to be as adults. And I think that's like, that'll be the thing that makes me misty-eyed, Mel, is like, you know, you watch your kids find their thing, but we're really starting to get a glimpse of like who they're going to be. And
oh, I'm going to tear up right now. Cause okay. I can't, oh, like, don't worry. Not like, but well, it's like, we're having those moments with our children now too. Right. Like, cause neither one of us are in the classroom currently, which is such a bummer. Like I miss it, but I am having those moments like with my son. Like we had a text exchange. He just got his phone. He was the last one in seventh grade to like get his phone. It was a whole deal. But like, even we just like had a text exchange. I almost had to catch myself right there. Yeah. Text exchange. Yeah. Say that 5 times fast. And he was super funny on it. And I like caught myself. I laughed out loud and cackled. And I was like, oh, this is him. Like there's moments of like his humor and just like, you just get to see glimpses and it's weird. It's like, it's beautiful. And it's like weird little teasers, but to your point, Rochelle, like it is like, you get to watch them grow and change and blossom and spread their wings. And it's such a gift. Like it will never be lost to me. It's a gift as a parent. It's a gift as a teacher. It's a gift. I'm crying.
Yeah.
I'm crying.
Yeah.
Eyes are sweating. It's also a punch in the throat and it just gives you that humility that like nothing else in the world can.
Oh my gosh. Let's talk about swag. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Totally. Transition.
Yeah.
Yes. And I loved your conversation. I dropped it in the comments and I'll drop it again. And I loved how you took apart the whole swagger. So Wes, I'll let you do that again. Yeah. And you guys were asking each other questions at the end, which I thought was hysterical. And I love, Molly, how you follow the tune of your own drum, or if that's, is that how you say it? I don't know, but oh my gosh, I was with you.
Also, what Molly does. You follow, I was with you. Follow the key of your own drum. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
But Molly, my own tune.
Molly loves to combine phrases. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite thing.
So tell us.
He's
tell
laughing us a little bit about me, not with me, but it's like enduring to him, hopefully, after 15
years.
Yeah,
so I was, 15 years of marriage. Yeah. I was super interested to talk about the notion of swagger after our reference point was the women's college basketball national championship game, University of Iowa versus LSU, super, super charged game for a number of reasons. But the conversation around swagger came up because two ladies in this game were doing what all athletes do, which is like exhibiting swag. Yeah. Like they're talking a little bit of trash. They're going back and forth. It was nothing that you wouldn't see in a game of men playing any other sport.
It was super appropriate.
Right. And so it was like the backlash blew my mind, but I'll put that on a shelf for a second. But it was a great launching off point to sort of like talk about swagger, like what is encompassed in swagger and of these elements, like what do we want to teach our kids to have? So things like class, things like style, things like confidence, mm-hmm. things like dominance, mm-hmm. like all of those elements are like, if you have swagger, all of these things are true. You are dominant. You are confident. You have style. And so then the question became like, what's the right balance?
Sure.
You know, do our kids have this? Do we need to work on it? And it was a fun conversation for Molly and I to have because Molly was born with abundant swag.
I don't like that he says born with. It's very an awkward thing.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
And I was born with nothing but questions and self-doubt.
I don't.
And Molly was born with swagger.
I wasn't born with swagger. I just was born being comfy in my own skin. So, like, let me just give you that caveat. But in fairness, I don't know if that was, like, nurtured or nature or both, whatever. That's a different conversation. I just felt like I've been myself my whole life. I don't know how to be anyone different, right? Like, I would be a horrible actor. I'd be horrible at, like, a lot of things. I don't know how to be anyone different. I just don't. That's never been anything in my brain. But that doesn't mean, like, and I didn't say this on the podcast because I think it came off wrong, but, like, it doesn't mean I don't have insecurities. It doesn't mean I don't feel, like, weird and awkward all the time or, like, insecure about a lot of things. I just don't necessarily, like, put that out to the greater world all the time. I'm just like, well, I gotta work with that, or I gotta work on those challenges, or that's, I'm not gifted in that, or whatever. But it's always been, like, my own, in my own head. It just hasn't been, like, voiced to Weston constantly about, like, every insecurity that I've ever had.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just, like, to put that caveat out there. Cause I was like, I'm not, I don't know.
I'm curious. I'm curious. Sure. Do you mind if I ask you a question?
Please.
Do you ladies?
I don't know if they do. You're gonna ask it. Go ahead.
May not answer it.
No. I know. That's so, right. That's
so two part question. Number one, do you think swagger has value? And number two, do you think you have it?
Oh, this is so.
Ooh. Okay. Can I answer first? Do you mind, Rochelle?
I do not mind at all.
That's because I am dominant. Sorry. Anyway, I think I have a little bit of swagger. A little bit. I don't know that it's something, this is what I was thinking when you guys were talking about it. I don't know that it's something that all of us need to have. I think it definitely helps us in the different roles that we fulfill, and it can make us unique. But what I loved about it is what it made me think is that you operate from a place of strength. And when you have a little bit of swagger, you're more likely to do that. And you're less likely to be, like, stomped in the ground when other people don't see your potential. And you guys addressed that really well.
Yes.
And I want to give a shout out to one of the first or second fourth grade class that I ever taught. I had a student named Hannah, and she just found out today that she passed her bar exam. And she said, I'm going to tag her on this, right? And she didn't pass it on the first time. It took her over a year. And I'm just like, you know, number one, passing the bar exam is, like, something that not everybody can do. But also, a lot of people would quit. They would just quit after the first couple of times. She kept on. And I just think that is kind of where that swagger comes in. Like, and you talked about this too, when you see something in yourself and you're just going to keep going no matter what anybody says. And that is something that not everybody has.
This is so forgive me. Like, this is something.
Shout,
like,
out Hannah.
That's, I love
you. Yeah.
That's such a big deal. No, I'm not pushing past that.
I love that you said this, right? Because, like, swagger, you talk about swagger is about coming from a place of strength. Like, this is a thing I asked. I was just out in Pennsylvania day before yesterday, and I was asking teachers about this, because one of the things I think every teacher needs to do is ask themselves, like, hey, what's your superpower?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everything needs to be built around that. And so, again, I'll pull back the curtain. Like, anytime you see me do a thing, like, I think storytelling is my superpower. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love storytelling. And so everything I do is built around my superpower. And so I love asking teachers, like, hey, what's your superpower? And if you're listening to this and you work with kids and you can't immediately identify what your superpower is, I think it's an indication of one of two things. Either you haven't thought enough about your practice, or you're being too damn hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes.
And it's a thing I think all of us need to be confident in admitting. And if you think your superpower is, like, oh, relationships, like, dig deeper into that. Like, what are the habituated behaviors? Like, how are you good at building relationships? Because I think it's a healthy practice for all of us. And I think we shy away from it because it feels, like, in some way, like, braggadocious or self-aggrandizing. Right.
Well, and Mel, to your point, like, you want to build it in kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was our whole point of the podcast, is, like, you don't, if it's like, if our choices are being insecure or having swag, like, swag all day.
All day.
You know, all day, every day. Because to your point, it's strength-based, right? You want to teach kids to operate, like, what are my gifts? What are my strengths? It doesn't mean you are great at everything across the boards. That's not the point of swag. It just means you're good at tapping into, like, what your own gifts are, and you're going to believe what's in your heart and yourself versus, like, the noise out here and, like, what everyone's telling you can or can't do. Like, I want to bet on myself. I want my kids to bet on myself and trust their heart and trust their own understanding of, like, where they see their own gifts and how to develop those things, because I want you making decisions out of your strengths, not from weakness, not from fear, not from being insecure. You want them, right? It's just strength-based learning. So you want them to develop that skill set and that discernment and that understanding internally, rather than listening to all the external noise that like may or may not affect you. It may not even be true. Right. Like in the past, like being good motivators for like teacher, you know, teachers either building you up or breaking you down. And he's talked a lot about that. And we've talked a lot about that just like in the book that we wrote together. But like really just how do you build that within your students? Like, how do you build that like knowing in themselves? Like, doesn't mean you're great at everything. That's too much sweat.
You gotta know you're good at something
and foster that and build your life and build your strengths around that.
Rochelle.
Too much chatting. Sorry, Rochelle.
No,
Rochelle.
That's fine. Yes, Weston.
You guys.
Swag, is it, do you have it? And is it a good thing?
Yeah.
Do you think it's a thing we teach?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I can follow up with anything better or even equally as good as what Mel said, but I do.
You have it.
I think I was the other way, whatever. Point me, I don't even know. Right. But right. I think everybody has it, and I think everybody needs to have it. And when you have it, it's going to vary. There are times throughout the day where I feel like I'm kind of like in the flow or in my zone, or I feel very comfortable and confident. And then there's other times where I feel like I got nothing, you know, I'm struggling with things and I'm just like out of sync with myself. And some people, depending on, you know, where your environment, who you surround yourself with, I think sometimes can either lift that up and help you develop swagger in a sense. And sometimes it can pull you down. And I see it, you know, in myself, sometimes I feel like, yeah, you know, and it's not that like you're cool or anything, because some people think, oh, swagger means you're cool. I think it has different meanings for everybody. Yeah. But that strength component of it, and where you feel confident and where you don't feel like you have to put on a show for anything, you're just you, like you're just authentically you, whatever that is. You walk into a room and you trip and you fall flat on your face and you get up and you're just like, what are y'all looking at? Like, that's swagger. Yeah. You know, I mean, everybody loves whatever. You just go.
You have to think you're cool, regardless if anybody else thinks you're cool. Like you see your potential.
My answer was not as good as Mel's, but it was awesome.
No, it was great. What is this?
Think you're awesome. Like that for me, like struck the tuning fork like immediately. That's exactly what it is. You're just in sync with yourself. That's what it is. Yeah. Like you're in sync with yourself. That. Understand what you have going on and your gifts and what you're bringing to the table, and you understand what you're not, right? Like you're in sync. Great definition. I love that.
I like what you said too, that like, you know, swagger is a thing that at times you have and at times you don't, right? Like swagger isn't a constant. It's not a straight line. And so like, I was thinking about like, it was something that we didn't talk about on the podcast, but like in front of a room, like in front of a big group of people is a place I feel like, okay, I've got swagger.
Oh, yeah,
like,
this is fun.
I'm confident. I feel like I'm good at this, but I'll tell you what, in a room of six people just floating around talking, like I don't have any swagger. I have only
awkwardness, yes. Just being a weirdo.
I'm like that too, though, Weston.
I mean, like he can talk to like, you know, 1,000, 3,000, whatever people and be funny and disarming, and he's done it, you know, 100 times and told the jokes and whatever. And I just feel like my natural environment is just like, hi, let's just talk one-on-one, or what are you about? Or like, what's going on? Which is like his nightmare.
A standing circle at a party with a group of 4 or 5 people makes me want to throw up.
I know.
What happens if you're also in Iowa with the mosquitoes and all those other things?
Right? Yeah.
Forget it.
Just get me out of here.
Camping trip, people I don't know, standing circle.
I have no swagger in the outdoors at all. Oh, and I want you to know that almost all of my camping was also in Iowa, in Des Moines, in fact.
Oh my gosh.
So, one of the YMCA campgrounds. Yeah.
Mine was Lake McBride in Iowa.
So much history. And just, you know, like maybe some trauma.
They're playing fast and loose with the word lake.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to jump off, and this is a great conversation. I just have to go pick up my middle schoolers.
Yeah, you
I
don't want them to be.
But I want to, do we have a fun game that we're going to do before we say goodbye?
I have a couple questions that I'm going to add. I'll say them. Okay. So first of all, I'm going to read you a definition really quick. Here's what swagger is. The magical power that turns an awkward shuffle into a confident strut, like having a secret stash of coolness that you can sprinkle on yourself whenever you need a boost of awesome. You got swagger, you can walk into any room, and people will automatically assume you're the coolest person there, even if you're just trying to remember where you left your car keys. It's the kind of thing that can't be taught, but it can be inherited from a long line of suave ancestors who always knew how to make an entrance. So anyway, so that's a definition. I did not make that up.
I like it.
I do too. It's an interesting take.
ChatGPT. Yeah. But here's my questions. Question one, can you teach me how to swagger or do I need to attend a swag 101 course?
Well, that's Molly teaches it.
Guys, I don't have a playbook.
Molly's taught me swagger.
Have I? That's really good. Okay, so yes, it's teachable. Absolutely. I mean, I'm an educator at heart, so I think everything is teachable, right? Like everything can, at some level, there's a component of like, you can get better and you can learn and you can be better. Some people are born with more natural capacity.
Answer, swagger. Answer to your question, no, Rochelle, I can't teach you swagger. Molly can, and she taught me swagger.
Yes. You are not certified swagger. It's just like it. You have...
Oh my gosh.
I'm the son to this Miyagi over here.
Miyagi.
That's me. I am. I'm a little mini Miyagi. That's it. There you go. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's a good question. I don't know. Do you guys agree? Do you think you can? Do you think you can grow in it?
I guess. I think you can learn it. I think you can learn it. Yeah. I don't know that everybody can teach it, but I think it's definitely something you can learn.
Agreed. Okay. So quick follow-up question to that. So if you can, therefore, then learn it. Is it something that you can list as a skill on your resume?
No, it'll piss off your boss.
Saying you have swagger is the opposite of swagger.
Okay. That's a good point. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And they either recognize that you have it or they realize, no, you don't. So, yes.
It's like all those chotch dudes who show up and they're like, yeah, I'm an alpha male. Like, no, you're not.
You're peacock. The fact that you have to say that means it's the opposite of
Skill
that has yet to be acquired.
If you have to label it for other people, you're not that.
You don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like, if you are that, it's obvious.
Yeah.
And as such, you don't have, like, I don't know.
I don't ever feel like Brene Brown's like, I'm an expert in shame. Although she does say,
she does say that. Yeah.
Okay,
she's an expert in shame and
vulnerability. Well, she can say that now because
she doesn't, have to walk to the front of the room and be like, hey, I'm really smart.
Shame expert. I know all of these things.
Guys, I'm really smart and really charismatic. She doesn't have to say that. She just is those things.
And then we all listen.
Right.
Yeah. I don't
know. Oh my. But I did have a bunch of other questions, but I did not make them up. I was using my resources. Not going to say what those resources are. ChatGPT.
Yeah, ChatGPT
or Bard.
I know.
But I know Mel has to go. But
I know. I hate that because
that's okay because we'll have him on for time number four.
We will very soon. You guys are a blast, and I always find their book that they wrote together. That is so cool. I love you guys as a couple. I want to go out and drink with you both. I mean, like,
anytime.
I do.
Do it.
Open invite.
Awesome. We always ask our guests, like, do you have any last thoughts of wisdom that you'd like to share? It doesn't have to be about swagger. It can be about anything that's just on your mind that you'd like to share with our community.
I got something real quick. It's just good for any educators who are listening to this at any level. It's a thing that I'm trying to tell everyone when I leave them is like this. It's April right now. This job's really hard.
Yeah.
Just take care of each other, check in on one another. Mm-hmm. And the thing I'm trying to tell people over and over, and it's so funny, like many things, like I stole this from Molly. It was a great thing she said to me one time.
I don't know what he's going
to
say.
And I've been telling other people, like, just trying to remind them, like, hey, don't light yourselves on fire to keep everyone else warm.
It's not mine. Yeah. I stole it too.
There's just nothing good at the end of that path. And it's a thing that we're not good at in our field. Like, this is a service profession, you know, and we serve and we give and we give and we give. But just sort of like, you can't fill from an empty vessel, you know, like don't light yourselves on fire. Like spend time with people who you love, spend time with people who love you. It's the only way you can sustain for any length of time in this job.
Yeah, that's good.
Love that.
Mine is just, I don't want to take it too heavy and negative, and just like the last month right now in schools for a myriad of reasons, as we all know, has been really intensive. So I just think, I really just want to make sure everyone is taking care of their physical person, but also their internal person and their brain, their mind, all of the important health pieces that we need to take to just sort of similar to his fill those buckets. But yeah, just to really dive into those things, because your kids need you, your work is important. Yeah. All of us, it's more important than it's ever been. And I think, right. I think when sometimes when tragedies happen and when things get really intense, we see all this stuff, like we want to shrink back mm-hmm. and flee and shrink, you know, and, you know, just pull away. And I think we need to do the opposite of that. I think for everyone, just like take care of themselves and lean into one another,
yes.
Your students lean in, like do the opposite of what our immediate reaction is, because that leaning in is what is needed more than ever. Like, don't shrink away from the fear. Just be right. Like we gotta bolster and have that strength and be there mm-hmm. for students that we are, you know, there for without yeah. being skeptic. Sorry, you guys.
No, you're good.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Be there for your kids. Go pick up your kiddos. Yeah. Yay. Go get them. Well, happy Friday, girls.
Thanks for being yes. here. We'll have you on again for time number 4 and then time number 5.
You'll be our most visited guest. I yes. love everything that you're saying. And I just want to add to that because I talk too much anyway. So we are whole people. That's my whole thing. We are whole people. And when we accept ourselves as whole people, it's easier to accept other people as whole people. And that's why I don't hate that teacher that really embarrassed me and my kid the other day. but I mean, because I know she's a human and she makes a mistake. Like we all do. I've had my moments too. And I just love what you're saying, because that's how we forgive people a little bit more easily. You know, and that's what I've been practicing anyway. So thank you for sharing all of that. Everything that you're saying resonates, and it always gets me thinking. So I really appreciate both of you, and I'm glad you came today.
Thanks for having us, you guys.
We appreciate you, ladies. Thoughtful. Thanks for doing what you do. Yes. We're just putting, we need more people just putting good stuff out into the world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this notion that we're all so angry at one another and ever, like, I keep trying to tell people over and over, like in my travels, like, you know what I discover every single time? People are profoundly reasonable.
Yeah. And good and kind and doing good work. You know, don't listen to the noise.
except for that lady on the train.
I know. We'll talk about it. We don't need to give her more energy. I know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining in today, whether you're watching live. Frank, thank you so much. And to Gina and Callie also for tuning in. And Dr. Kevin, happy birthday. And we will see you again. And Rochelle, I look forward to seeing you in person next week.
I know.
And
we'll days.
Bye, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Travels, girls.
Bye.